I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear listeners, my very dear sisters, welcome to the realm of ladies. You are listening to Arab English Radio, and this is Muslim Lady, in which we're going to discuss all the matters of women. So I am Asma, your humble host for today's episode, and here with me I have my very dear friend, Sister Sadiqa, who is going to help us with the questions. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back here again.
Well, the pleasure is all ours. Thank you for being here. Well, dear listeners, just as we promised, this is going to be the next segment for the story, the very sad story of infertility, which has got so much of burden on the side of the woman. So we talked about all the mental issues that would happen to a woman that is very much wishing to have a child, but she's not going to have a child of her own flesh and blood. This very idea is going to kill her, by the way. But then we talked that the environment, the people who are surrounding them, the family or friends must be so supportive and help them through this way. And a lot more of these kind of stuff. But now we're going to look at the Islamic perspective regarding what we call as infertility in women. So is there some direct narrations about infertility of women?
Yes, they are. They're quite... Before we get into infertility, I just wanted to mention a short point.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Islam looks at childbearing in a very positive light and encourages couples to have children, Islam also does come along and understands that it's not always going to happen. And we do have many traditional narrations that we've discussed in previous segments about miscarriage and how even miscarriage is looked in a positive light. I mean, positive light in the meaning that even the child is going to intercede for the parents on the Day of Judgment. So because Islam looks at it that there would be problems in carrying a child to term, infertility as well has been mentioned in the Quran. And we have the story of Prophet Zakaria. So Prophet Zakaria, like we know, did not have a child of his own till he was quite old.
Yeah.
And that was because his wife could not conceive.
And his wife was totally barren.
Yes, she could not conceive at all, and they were both in a very old age. Now when we see the story of how Prophet Zakaria got a child, it is very interesting.
And inspiring, of course.
And very inspiring, because it also gives us ways of how women can overcome infertility.
Yeah. Hope. And the doors of hope are open.
Exactly. And the doors of hope and prayers. Now we have, obviously we have the medical side of it that women should not ignore. Couples should not ignore,
especially if
there are medical issues surrounding infertility. But when it is unexplained infertility, as it does come along in some cases, let's look at the story of Prophet Zakaria. So in Surah Ali Imran, verse 36 to 38,
mm-hmm.
It discusses that Prophet Zakaria enters the room where the mihrab where Hazrat Maryam was praying.
The altar.
Yes. And he saw a plate of fruits over there.
Yeah.
Fruits that were not in season according to the traditions.
Yes, yes.
And he's very surprised and he asks her, where did you get this? And she replies, God gives to whom he wishes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a thunderstorm bolt to Prophet Zakaria.
Yeah.
And that desire to have a child from Allah who's the all giver comes into him. The verse says, there and then, he prayed for a child.
That is very nice.
And Allah tells him, we will give you a child.
Yes.
The prayer worked, right? Now, there are two points over here I'd like to mention. First is, Prophet Zakaria in this issue realized he's a prophet. He already knows this. But sometimes we do require to understand us as humans, not Prophet Zakaria. This story serves as an example that Allah is the all giver.
Yeah.
And as we learn to understand this, it becomes easier for us to accept that, look...
You mean we leave it to the hands of God.
Exactly. We did not choose to come into this world.
Yeah.
Allah brought us here. So in some cases, Allah chooses not to bring a person into this world. right? Yes. So he chooses not to bring a child to
the
specific...
And maybe it's the test of your life, you know?
Exactly. Like the Quran also speaks about this, that your wealth and your mm-hmm. children are a test for you.
Yeah.
So understand this, that it is a test, but Allah is the all giver.
Exactly. He's always there.
Exactly. And the second point I'd like to mention is that Hazrat Zakaria prayed in the mihrab of Hazrat Maryam. In my opinion, this indicates that praying in specific places has a better result, right? So if you pray in a place that there's more of a sanctuary that has more sanctity, like Hazrat Maryam's mihrab was where she used to pray. And Hazrat Maryam has an amazing status in the Quran.
Exactly.
There's a whole surah dedicated to her. So yes. Hazrat Zakaria prayed in the mihrab of Hazrat Maryam. So when the women, not women, couples, I'll rephrase
exactly,
it. Couples,
yes.
When they're going through problems, not only infertility, any other problem.
Any kind of problem.
And since it's the topic of infertility, go to the places of those who are great. You know, like we have the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt, the masajids, the mosques where people mm-hmm. go, they frequent every day.
Yeah.
You pray over there. These are the places where Allah is glorified. Use those places and pray to Allah in those places.
Let's go for a little break and I'll be back in no time. Thank you for listening.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
I'd actually like to mention a story. This is a personal friend, right?
Yeah.
They struggled with infertility for about 5 years. They went through IVF, they conceived, and in the 6th month, they miscarried the child.
Wow.
Now, obviously, when you have a miscarriage in IVF, you do feel very hopeless because you have
gone through... It's a breakdown.
It is very... It really affects the person.
Exactly,
so this couple actually came to Iran. They went to the shrine of Imam Ridha, alayhi salam. And they prayed. And I know this
And of course, he will never let anyone down.
Exactly. And when they went back, they were, as soon as they returned, they were able to conceive naturally. And they went on to have another pregnancy after that as well, conceived naturally.
Yeah,
now, this
is
a couple who has struggled with IVF. Now, I'm not saying that couples should not go for the medical route. But what I'm saying is that keep prayer alongside your...
Exactly, yeah.
Health alongside your doctor appointments. Keep both of them together because prayers, like Allah says, dhikr of Allah is a sort of contentment, is a source of contentment for the heart. So a person who continuously prays, going through those struggles, it brings a level of contentment and peace in the heart.
Yes.
So a couple can take a deep breath and understand Allah is there. I will do what is my responsibility.
Yes.
And Allah will do what is His responsibility and what he thinks is right. The couple will do what they have to do and Allah will do what he has to do. So as we keep prayers and these two together, inshallah, there should be a positive result for those who are struggling.
And by the way, you know, we have seen plenty much of couples who do not have children at all, but still the institution of their marriage is doing well. And they're very loving and they care for each other. So I get it that the idea of procreating in a religion is very important. And not just in our religion, in all humanity. The idea behind marriage is to have some children of your own flesh and blood, of someone to carry your name. All these things are existing, but still, maybe... It is not meant for all people to be parents. We should come to a point to embrace this very fact that maybe it is not meant for me to be a mother.
Or it could be that maybe there's other solutions they could go for as well.
Because
I think coming down to a woman who really craves to have a child and is unable to do so, they should always keep their hope in mind.
That is very important.
IVF, obviously there are Islamic jurisprudential rules surrounding IVF, and those can be discussed. And then there's also another route, adoption.
Yes, that's very true.
Also, adoption as well comes with its own jurisprudential rules, mm-hmm. which the scholars are obviously very well qualified to answer these questions. But if a couple is unable to conceive and they've exhausted all their routes and there's nothing more, then, you know, maybe they can go for adoption. They can look at the jurisprudential rules surrounding adoption and go for that as well. And inshallah, you know, they have someone to care. And sometimes people are not very comfortable with adoption.
Yeah.
But we do see there's so many orphanages which require, you know, these mothers have a whole world of love to give. And that love can always, if they're able to go into orphanages and volunteer over there, love those children like their own, God knows how much reward they will be getting. Because, you know, we have so much emphasis on loving orphans.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
treating them with the best of respect.
Giving them the life they actually deserve to have.
Exactly. So if, you know, if these women who have a whole world of love to give are able to volunteer a few of the hours to go into these orphanages, sit with these kids, love them like their own, and, you know, make them understand that you don't have a parent, I don't have a child.
Yeah.
But we can obviously, we will be with each other, we will love each other, and you know that love that she has to give, she's able to direct it.
The two of them would complete themselves.
Exactly. They will. One has a lot of love to give, and one needs a lot of love.
Exactly, yeah, that's very nice.
And, you know, hopefully this can create a big pathway towards her own creating a whole load of Jannah for herself in the hereafter.
Yeah.
And who knows, through the du'as of these orphans, in the end, she might actually end up conceiving herself.
Exactly.
As well.
And we have heard many stories, you know. We have plenty of examples.
Another thing to mention is that we mentioned in the previous segment that that women think it's guilt, and some people within a whole Islam, you know, they might try to be well-wishers again, but they come down with ideas such as, because you sinned, therefore God is punishing you.
Oh, no.
Please do not think that.
Yeah.
God is not a revengeful Lord.
Exactly.
114 times in the Quran, Allah calls himself. 113 times he starts in the Quran with him introducing himself as Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Allah is not here to take revenge.
He's the most merciful of all.
Exactly. Sometimes our actions can cause us to go through problems, such as maybe, you know, diet and stress, but it is not because of your sin. Hazrat Zakaria did not sin for him and his wife to not be able to have children. So our actions can lead to problems, but it's not necessarily a sin. But yes, sometimes by doing good, by giving charity, if there is any tribulation that's supposed to come on a couple, we have narrations that state if you do good, those tribulations are taken away. Now, given that infertility itself is a test and in some cases a tribulation for some couples, by doing good, inshallah, those tribulations can be averted from them as well. And the du'as of those around them, the prayers of those around them can come back and bring good for them. And, you know, they're, inshallah, they are able to have a natural...
Because when many people are praying for you, it's actually very different from the time when you are praying for yourself all alone.
Yes, because it is said when a person prays for another, Allah is very merciful. He looks at that prayer with a very positive light and accepts it, especially if those who are praying are very innocent. Like we were talking around on the lines of orphan children, because those orphans have had such a hard life. Inshallah, their prayers can come back and have a good effect on this couple.
Yeah, that is very true. Thank you, sister. So this is all the time we had. Infertility is not going to define a woman. So it is always hope that is going to help you through the journey. Thank you, dear listeners.
Who is the loved one? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He's the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes, so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.